Hey, this is Eric Etheridge, and you're listening to The Music's Journey Show with Kim Sear.
It's rain like this that takes me back. It makes me miss that fire we had. We had everything under the cobble sun. With a kiss like that, you can't have just one. So taste it on my tongue. Tequila, we were making snow angels in the sand on the beach. Making out, making memories that you can't let go. Yeah, there's something about a little man in Mexico.
You just heard a snippet of the latest single, Made in Mexico, by country star Eric Etheridge. Nothing makes me happier than to hear the words that Eric is back with another single, and we are still buzzing from Eric's latest off his brand new project. It's the lead single, and it is Made in Mexico. Here to talk about it all is country star, one of my favorite people, Eric Etheridge. Hi, Eric. How are you?
Hey, Kim. I'm great. How are you doing?
Good. Been pretty sick for the last couple of days.
My managers were telling me that. I'm sorry to hear. Are you feeling any better?
I'm getting there. It's just a stubborn flu. I think everybody, you know, was just getting it, and it just keeps bouncing back from one person to the next. And
everybody's getting sick. I'm out here in Alberta, and it seems to be dying down, but like at one point everybody was getting sick, and I got sick, I think, twice within the same month with like two different things. And I was like, what the heck is going on? Everybody around us is getting sick. But
I hope that you're okay, because it's always tough, because we're always so busy at Christmas time too, right?
Right.
And yeah, all the running around, and you got a newborn, or not a newborn anymore. Holy cow.
He's a toddler now, which is it's just crazy. Yeah, he still sleeps like a newborn, but by that I mean he does not sleep. but I think he's gradually getting better. But he's just awesome. We're very blessed, and it's, you know, definitely the best thing that has come out of the pandemic for us.
I think last time I had you on the show, Kelsey, she was pregnant at the time. And
right.
So I haven't even had a chance to congratulate you guys.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah. No, it's been really, really like incredible experience becoming a parent, and just witnessing all the, you know, the stages of kids growing up is just, it's so cool. I'm very grateful. You know, Kelsey's an incredible mother too. So
Wilder is such a cutie. Oh my goodness. I'm telling you, I just laugh every time I'm seeing some of the posts on Instagram and that. And then there was one of you passed out last night, I believe.
Yes. Yep. That was Kelsey took that. We were like, you know, I think she had family down visiting. I'm like, all right, you guys can stay up and chat. I'm going to bed. It was probably 9:30. You know, she comes down and we're both conked out. But it's the life of a parent, right? You're just, I tell people if I repeat things in interviews, it's the sleep deprivation. So I apologize. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Oh, well, you two are just glowing, and man, parenthood just suits you so well. It's so nice to see.
Thank you.
I was looking at the Halloween pictures. You were the Tin Man.
Oh, yeah. That was my sweet homemade costume. I think I posted something about it. I was like, you know, like Kelsey's like big on Halloween, and I'm like, I could easily just not dress up and just like go, you know, go trick or treating with the little guy. But I'm like, I don't need to put on a costume. And she's like, you're putting on a costume. I'm like, okay, fine. I'm going to be the Tin Man. I'm going to go all out here. So I think I used about 20 pounds of aluminum foil and duct tape, and I made it out of a box, and I was like, all right, here we go. Woo. And I didn't measure it right, so I could barely walk and like sit in it. We got in the car, and I was like, I can't move in the car. It was good.
I was chuckling when I saw it, because it was like, okay, this is so cute. And I figured you were gonna have a tough time moving around in that.
It definitely was not, it was not flexible, I should say. But I wouldn't play sports in it.
Absolutely.
So,
your Christmas time, I think this Christmas is going to be so much more meaning to Wilder this year. I know it's not his first one, but, you know, touching the ornaments, seeing all the decorations, seeing the expression on his face. What are you looking forward to with Wilder this year?
Oh, all those things, right? I mean, last Christmas he was only about 3 or 4 months old, and which was super cute, you know, but he's still just, like, wrapping paper is everything at that age, you know, which that was awesome. But this year he's, you know, he's walking around and he's just like, he's communicating and he's he plays with toys now. It's just, it's really, really cute to see. And I'm excited for that. You know, like, it's interesting how when you become a parent, you know, like, Christmas is just like, it's all about kids. Like, I'm just excited for him, you know. Like, I don't even need presents. I'm good. I'm excited for the magic of Christmas.
Oh yeah.
But, yeah, so.
And that's what it is, right? That's exactly what it is. It's just seeing the expression and just having that joy and that time. It's got nothing to do with presents.
Absolutely.
But he'll probably get everything, right?
he's the only grandkid on my wife's side, and he's one of two on my side. So they're getting spoiled.
Well, there you go. Well, you know what? that's a really good thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, he's a lucky guy. Like, we're lucky to have a lot of, we're out west right now in Edmonton area, and, we have a lot of family that are close by, relatively close by, like all throughout the prairies. And so we have a lot of very, loving, helpful family that have been coming to visit him pretty frequently. So that's been good for him. You know, a lot of little kids are saying, because of the pandemic and the lockdowns, they're not seeing too many other people. And Wilder fortunately has been able to see a lot of people, so that's been good.
Oh, that's good. I loved watching the video of you when you were walking with Wilder down the hallway.
Thank you. It was the first time he's ever held my hand like that and walked down. Like, he's at that point, he was taking a few steps and walking, you know, a few meters, and then he's just starting to get to the point where he can walk long distances. I'm like, here, grab my hand. And he just grabs my hand. We go for a walk down the hallway. I'm like, this is crazy. It's crazy for a first-time parent, you know?
Well, I only had one child, so I get it.
Right.
I totally, totally get it. I am so proud of you. Man, you are just...
Thank you.
Yeah, so many things going on for you that are just so incredible. And we're going to talk about a few of those. But man, you are on fire with this last single.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's been... we've been taking our time. I released a record late in 2020, and then we've been spending the last while writing new songs, just working on, we want to make sure every time we put out a song, we're trying to beat the last one we put out, you know, and we really love how Made in Mexico turned out. You know, I was working with a great producer down in Nashville, Lindsay Rhymes, who's done, I think he has a couple hits with Kane Brown and Slow Cash, and that was a really cool experience, and I just love his work. So it was awesome to have his take on the song, and I'm just glad to be back doing music and playing shows. And it was a long couple of years there where we were shut down. So.
that it was so great to see you performing live again, because you're always such an amazing performer, and it's just, you know, it's just nice to see. But there's a difference with you this time.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. It's when the pandemic hit, I was on tour with Gord Bamford. We were in Brandon, Manitoba, and the news came in, we're shutting the tour down, and I knew right then and there, I was like, I don't know if I'm ever, I mean, I like to think so, but I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to do this again.
Playing in a stadium
with, you know, because I knew then that, like, I was like, it's going to be a good 2.5 years before we're back to normal. If this goes the way that they're thinking it's going to go. Sure enough, 2.5 years later, I played my first show in Ontario, like a normal, quote unquote, normal show with a crowd. So this time now, like, every time I go out on stage now, I just think, like, you know what, this, you never know when your last show is going to be, and I'm just going to, you know, like, sing my heart out every time and just have the best time I can, because I don't take any of it for granted, you know?
Well, we are just so incredibly grateful to have you as a Canadian artist, and man, it's just watching your numbers climb and what you've accomplished. You know, 68 million artist streams. And yeah, that's pretty darn it's cool. Yeah, really.
It's crazy to hear it out loud.
Well, look what this song did too. Look what this song did just in the first 4 weeks prior to the release of the single. It's so nice to see because, man, you deserve it. And yeah, you are one of the hardest working artists out there, and we just absolutely love you. And being able to see social media, everything, your two singles that went gold, you got a lot going on. You really have.
Well, thanks, Kim. I should be paying you to say these wonderful things about me. Seriously. I appreciate it though. And I'm very blessed and very grateful to had the opportunities I've had up to this point, and now it's just about, like, I want to make sure I really took some time to, when we had the downtime and the off time, I wanted to really think about, okay, we had some major life changes with having a baby and obviously, like, just never thought we'd end up in Western Canada, although we love it here. We didn't see that coming at the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that when music started back up again, I was like, hey, how do I want to approach this now? I want to make sure that I'm able to do this for the long term and not burn myself out. But I also want to get across. I feel like things happened so quickly in the beginning. I want people to get to know me better, I guess, is how I would say it.
I think that's what the difference is too. When I am seeing the live performances and that, it's just, it's different. And it's, everybody has complimented you on that too. And it's just your whole presence. You can really see that you're kind of sitting in the saddle now, where before, like you said, it was fast and furious. And now it's just like, it's like you're in a peaceful place.
Well, thanks. I'm glad that it comes across on stage. And, I would say that being on stage is my happy place, you know,
that's
where I just, it's one of my favorite things to do in the world. And it's people often say, like, you look like you're having such a great time on stage. I'm like, cause I am, I am having a great time. It's it's one of the best, my favorite things to do, is connect with people through music. But I always say, like, if someone's coming to a show, they've never seen me before, or maybe they have, or they could be having a rough week, you know, I want them to leave a concert of mine being, like, just on a different, in a different level, on a different state, with their mood elevated and happy, and hopefully remembering that night as, like, hey, that was a great time. I'm glad I went to that. That's my goal every time we step on stage.
And that's cool, because we talk about it often here, you know, on the radio. We talk about artists that might have a great song and going in and recording it, and people hear it and they love it, but it's the fans that come to see the artist live. That's where you win them over, is the live performance. Sure. And if you don't know how to present that song and deliver that song and make people feel it, like you're saying, feeling great when they leave, you know, they're not gonna, you're gonna lose the followers, right? And that's why I think it's just so cool to see the response that you're getting right now. And just with the singles that you've released and, you know, the Billboard charts, you know, just, it shows everywhere. It's not just in one area, it's showing everywhere. And that is just incredible, you know, after everything that's happened. Now, you're talking about the changes in life, right? And we're talking about everything that's happened and, you know, taking a look at where you started off and what was important to you, or what you thought was important when you were chasing this dream. What has changed for you since you started and where you're at now?
I think that's a great question. I think there were so many things. To summarize it, when I initially got into music, it was, you know, I felt like I was working 24/7. And just constantly go. And I've touched on this a little bit on social media, but I got to a point where, and it was actually right around the time the pandemic hit, like just probably a couple months before, I was completely burnt out, just mentally and physically burnt out. And I think I would probably been burnt out for a long time. I just would ignore it and drink more caffeine and keep going, sort of thing, you know?
Exactly.
But that you gets to a point where your mind is saying keep going, but your body's like, no, I can't do it, you know. And And so something's got to give, right? And so I took some time to, like, I was having a whole kind of a bunch of health issues, and I was like, what the heck? I couldn't figure out what was going on. And then I finally, it finally occurred to me that, hey, you're doing too much. You know, you need to sleep. You need to, you know, you need to slow down a little bit here, and just eat better and just take care of yourself. And so I took an opportunity in the pandemic, to do that. And, a little bit, just because I knew that the point where I was at, as everything was taking off, I knew that I'm like, hey, like, even if this keeps going, I won't be here to enjoy it. Like, I won't mm-hmm. I won't be able to keep up at this pace. And so, you know, I knew that when I was going to come back to music, like when the world comes back to live music, I wanted to be in a headspace and in a place where I'm like, okay, I'm ready to do this. And I'm coming at it from, I would say, more of a balanced perspective, if that mm-hmm. makes sense.
It does. Yeah.
So one of the things that unexpectedly, like, well, when we had Wilder, your priority shift when you become a parent too, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was actually reading an article, who was it? Sarah Evans was talking about how she was, well, actually somebody commented on this. Kelsey made a post. I think you saw the post where I was passed out in bed, and Wilder had his arm around me. And we're both passed out. This is like, I think it was last night, actually, that this happened. And somebody commented about how Sarah Evans would say that she was terrified that when she had a baby, her career would be over. And I know a lot of women in the industry mm-hmm. think that. And it's honestly, it's awful. Like, I feel for all of them. Because, like, you know, like, it's a real stigma that gets out there, though. Like, a lot of people in the industry will say, oh, she's having a baby, like, she's done, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Unless she's already made it, you know, unless you're Maren Morris status or something, like, or Carrie Underwood, like, but, you know, if you're climbing the ladder and then you have a kid, you're out. And so Kelsey and I, we talked about this, like, when we were gonna have a baby. I was like, this is like, when after you have the baby, like, you're gonna be putting out more music than you did before you had a child, you know, like, this is the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And so, sure enough, like, that's what we did. You know,
she's
like,
on she's, fire too.
She's you know, within 6 months of having a baby, within 6 months she had a song on the radio and a music video debuted in the States, and then, you know, anyway, sorry, I'm going on here, but yeah, but I guess priorities do change when you have a kid. And I said to her, you know, like, you can be a working mom. There's millions and tens of millions of working moms out there, and country music is no exception. And we'll make it work as a family. Like, there's gonna be times where I'm flying to one coast, she's flying to the other coast, and we're like, wow, there's, you know, he's gonna have to go with one of us at one point. And then, you know, or, you know, we'll figure it out. We're gonna be a nomadic family probably for a bit, and that's okay.
Just keeps evolving, right? As life keeps changing, and it's evolving, because both of you are on fire right now. And it's so great, because she's got such an incredible voice, but man, she's a good writer.
Totally.
Oh, she's a good writer.
I feel blessed, but I also feel like people say, oh, you, like, she always says, you're biased. And I'm like, well, I've heard.
She's good.
I've heard the songs that nobody hears. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And I think the biggest tragedy to me is, like, when an artist such as Kelsey or other artists that I meet in Nashville and stuff, that, like, they have these incredible songs that they never get out there.
Mm-hmm.
That is such a tragedy. And so I said to Cass, I'm like, no, people just gotta hear more of your music. Like, it's just, you don't have, you know, I can think of 30 killer songs that just need to be put out. And so we're in the process of, her getting that out, and just continually over the next several years, just pumping out music, and for myself as well. That's the game plan.
Well, that's awesome. I know too, like, for women, it's been tough in the industry, period, you know, to be able to climb the charts, but man, I'm so glad to see it shifting, where you're seeing so many of the female artists are just killing it, both sides of the border and worldwide on so many incredible stages, like Australia and so many of the other locations. And, you know, it's so nice to see. And what a perfect time for both of you. Perfect time.
I agree. And it's, you know, I'm a very proud husband for sure. I'm her biggest fan, but, you know, I think her parents would, and her sister and other family members would fight me for that. But, I think, you know, and when you have kids, it's like, it's, Sarah Evans said in her thing, and she said, you know, I would drop music in a heartbeat if I had to choose between my child and music, you know, which is not that that's not our plans by any means, but
the priorities,
you know, my life goals become different. Like, it's everything I do is like, I want to get my music out there and I want us to be successful. But more importantly, I want to be a great dad, a great husband, and make sure that Wilder has a great upbringing as well. You know, like that's almost the top priority. I would say it is the top priority.
See, yeah. Now you might have just answered the question I was going to ask you next.
Okay. And right.
Because I was going to ask you, you know, when you started chasing this dream, when Kelsey started chasing this dream, what success looked like to you then? If somebody asked you, what does success mean to Eric Etheridge? And then taking a look now, how would you describe what success is?
Yeah, I think I used to just think, I used to say, I would love to travel the world and be, you know, have a successful career singing for thousands of people that, you know, and helping to change people's lives for the better. That's what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that still is true. But now it's almost, that's secondary to, you know, I want to be a great father and a great husband. That's top priority. Obviously, because family is so important to me. It's important to Kelsey as well. And
heart of goals, both of you. Both of you.
And part of it too is like, I want that to come through in my music too, and in my social media. It's going to change my writing and the kind of songs that come out but success is like, I at the end of the day, like, I want, you know, I want our family to like be happy, healthy, and mm-hmm. successful following our dreams. Like, that's, you know, that's all I want for us, really. It's, I had a lot there, like I said earlier, where, this is my perspective has changed, but where I was burnt out to the point where I don't talk about it a whole lot publicly, but it was to the point where, yeah, like I was like, I don't even know how I'm going to continue to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought to myself, I was like, you know, how am I going to tell my son to chase his dreams if I'm too scared to chase my own dreams?
Fear has been a big part, right? For, mm-hmm. you know, with music, period, for you.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's an exciting journey for sure. But it's also, there's so many unknowns related to it, right? Like,
yeah.
You just have no idea what's coming next, which that's something that I've had to adapt to.
Mm-hmm. And I think maybe being a father too makes you, like, when you're stepping up to that plate and you're seeing, man, like, this is, you know, we created this beautiful, beautiful little boy. And it's just all of a sudden, you know, the expectations for yourself do change. And, you know, you want to be steadfast and you want to be that perfect parent. But at the same time, you know, it's just knowing life is going to change all around you. And that's one thing we can't control. It's going to change. Yeah. And learning to go with those punches, right? And music's going to continue to change. Look how much it changed over, you know, the lockdown and everything that we've gone through. It completely changed when it comes to the streaming platforms and the countries that we were getting music to, that independent artists mm-hmm. never had that opportunity like this before. It kind of leveled out that playing field. And, mm-hmm. you know,
absolutely.
Yeah. And songs were getting heard that, you know, may never have been played on radio before, but because of the fans being able to go out there and choose their music, it's really, they're having a bigger say. And,
absolutely.
Yeah. And,
I agree.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good thing that, you know, with things like TikTok and stuff, anybody can blow up. So it's more based on the merit of the song and the artist now. As opposed to, you know, less of it is predetermined, which is, I think, is a great thing. I think it gives more opportunities to people that may never, like you said, may never have gotten an opportunity otherwise.
Now with the streaming platforms, we can play anything. And, you know, with podcasts and music shows that are coming up on different platforms, it's been awesome to be able to dig in and play the songs that I absolutely love and get artists on here that, you know, may not have had that chance. And I love every bit about this.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when it comes to the milestones of your career, you know, some of the times, you know, as you said, it's been tough, you know, going through what you were going through. And I'm glad you brought that up, because we want to use this platform for other people when it comes to, you know, people that are chasing their dreams, being executives and other things that they're chasing, and they forget that balance. And sometimes it's just too late, you know, and they don't realize. And I think all of us have that opportunity to be able to slow down and realize that we aren't even taking the time to even see anything around us because of all the noise. And, you know, stripping that all back, everybody's been able to refocus on what's really important. And then you learn to write again about what's really important. And I think that's probably a big part of your approach to your writing now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I 100% agree. I think the finding that balance is the hardest thing in the world. Especially if you are executive, you're a business owner, an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the world is working against us all now with social media and our phones and how addicting they are. And it's everybody and everything is trying to keep your attention. I personally, like, this is something I've struggled with is, you know, being in the moment, when all I can think about is, okay, what's next and what do we do next and how do we get there? And, and so actually Kelsey's really good at, you know, keeping me in the moment. She's very good at that. Like, you know, it's her personality, but also like the fact that she had cancer, several years ago. I think once you have a life changing moment like that, I think it really changes your perspective on life. And so she's taught me a lot. Just being her husband, it's taught me a lot and changed my attitude towards things. Like, and then also becoming a parent, like, it's amazing how quickly they grow. You don't want to miss just the little details of you know, just them just playing with blocks or something. Like, it's just, that's been a change for me, to just
learn, you know, how to just play and doing, just, yeah.
When I'm not doing anything, I'm still, this is a valuable thing.
Exactly.
Know, to sit here and hang out with my son while he, you know, plays with the teddy bear. It's awesome that way. You know,
it's nice to be able to have that part come out of everything that everybody's gone through, and it's good to be able to look at what the silver lining is. And I can relate to Kelsey, as you know, and
right.
yeah, you
right.
know, there's just so much that you go through that you right. can't express until you hear that C word.
Yeah.
And, you know, people can say, you know, I lost so-and-so to this, or, you know, they've witnessed it. But until it happens to you, it's just a different outlook altogether. And, you know, it's a courageous thing that she's done, and she's been able to use that in her platform too. And, you know, I really commend her, you know, for that and all that she's come through. And boy, you know, what a pleasure. What an incredible pleasure it is to have her as a Canadian and all that she's done, you know, with everything.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. 100%. Absolutely. Teddy bear playing.
Exactly. Sometimes, I feel like a country song is brewing right now.
I know.
It's those little things that I've learned. I feel like it's a process, but I've learned to appreciate those things a lot more. Than I ever have. And yeah, I think it's just doing this in a way, like, going forward, as I start to drop new music and get out there more, I haven't said this too much publicly yet, but I just feel like I was, because things were going so quickly, most of what I would talk about is like, hey, this happened, oh my gosh, this happened, hey, this is happening. I think there's a lot of people out there like, that's awesome, but we don't really know a whole lot about you.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I was like, okay, now my focus is like, just, I want to bring people in more, and I want people to get to know me more.
And, they connect, you know,
maybe,
to your music.
Maybe that'll turn some people away, but I actually don't care. You know, like I just want to be authentic, really. Like, I'm like, this is who I am. This is what these are the things I like to do. If you don't like to, that's cool. I don't, you know,
I think it just makes the songwriting and the words and everything that you sing is just people, the moment they understand who you are, it's just, it's a whole new level of what your music means, where they might have heard your songs before, but then they actually stop and listen when they get to know an artist. They get attached to the story. Everybody loves a human, the human story behind an artist. And that's what I love about the podcast, because anytime I was doing the interviews for the radio station before, you're asking the same questions. You know, you got the new single out, tell us your writing process really quickly. And, you know, you're on tour right now. Where's the first show going to be and what's coming next? And that's it. I get to dig deeper, and I like to be able to pull that out, because I want things to, you know, even though people might not be, you know, a songwriter or a singer, but you got so many people that are influenced with social media right now that are going through hard times and may not talk about it. And they hear people like you that have that platform and use that platform to say, man, you know, he's saying exactly what I went through and what I'm going through right now. And, you know, it can turn somebody's life around. And that is so incredible, you know, to be able to do that. So,
I agree. And the challenge I find is I don't know what your thoughts are on this, but I've been thinking a lot over the last couple of years. It's like, okay, I'm going through some things right now, and that's okay. Everybody is, you know, I'm not unique in that. Mm-hmm. It's been a crazy time, right? I'm like, but how, I'm thinking like, how can I use my platform and how can I tell stories to like help people with this? And that's, and probably through music. And so that's something that I'm like starting to
think about
process, but also just starting to like talk about more on social media. It's a different side of me that, you know, people may not have seen before. And it's, you know, how do you pick yourself up if you're feeling like you want to give up on something? Like, how do you change that?
Well, I think,
what are things that you can do, you know? And I don't know. I feel like people could relate to that, you know?
Absolutely. That's the other show that I'm starting now, and Sunny McFadden's coming on, and I've worked with her in the past before I got into music, because I used to do live television and radio. But
awesome.
When we talked about it, we talked about real life issues and tough stuff. But we went through the process where, you know, we can pull that out of people talking about what did it feel like in that moment? Like, describe that. And when we break that all down, it's incredible. You know, because that's what's going to hit home to someone. Is it's one thing to say depression, or, you know, it could be any form of mental illness, or they've lost somebody to, you know, addiction or alcohol, any of those things. But when you break it down to how that person got there, you might be able to stop somebody from going down that road.
Right.
And that's the change we want to make. And music, to me, that's what I got into music for, is music is healing. And it doesn't matter whether you're going through a tough time in your life. If you're going through a tough time, you can relate certain songs to it that you heard during that time. And when you're going through a real sad time, same thing. It might be a breakup or a loss of someone in your life. Certain songs that you're going to remember that they loved. As soon as you hear that song, you're going to remember that person. It's just like, music is the key. And I think that it's just so important that we can tie the two together. Thank you for opening up with that. That's just, you know, it's really, really special. You've got a heart of gold. You always have.
Well, thanks. So do you, Kim.
Oh.
So I appreciate it.
Now let's talk about these headlining shows and getting out there. And you know, I know that when you started this career, right, you always loved pop music too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's been a big part of your journey in music. Tell us about that crossover for you. What drove you to music? What song? And I have a pretty good idea. I know which one it was. But tell me what song made you decide. You know, when you heard the song, it impacted you so much. And that artist. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I remember I was a long time ago. I'm not going to say how long because I don't want to date myself. But I remember the first time I heard Garth Brooks' If Tomorrow Never Comes. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting on a city bus, and I just started breaking out in tears. And I was like, what is happening to me right now? Like, I've never, a song has never made me cry. That's never happened in my life. And I was like, wow, you know, like, this is such a crazy, like, powerful emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And, it was, you know, from that, like, that was when I started getting into more country artists, you know, like, and just finding, like, oh, I didn't know country music was like this. And then I discovered Eric Church and Brantley Gilbert. And like, you know, because I come from a background of, like, I love all kinds of music, really.
Exact same here. Yeah.
And, but then that's what led me down the, like, the falling in, you know, the love affair with country music, and appreciating a kind of, yeah, it kind of happened backwards, but, and then, you know, from there, that it just evolved into this, yeah, this love affair with country music. And
look at the kind of songs that you're releasing. They're, you know, yeah, they have meaning. So that song, mm-hmm, led you to be, you know, exactly the kind of artist you are now.
Right.
Yeah. And that's pretty cool when you're hearing where it started, yeah, and what song impacted you. You are, yeah, so good at the storytelling. As I said, the romantic side of you. That's, yes, why everybody loves you, all the girls.
I'm definitely a sap. Like, I gravitate towards, like, I love love, you know? Like,
exactly.
As sappy as that sounds. I like to have fun, and I like love, love songs. And, like, I'm the happy love song guy, I guess. But, and then we joke because my most successful song to date was a really sad song, If You Met Me First. But,
yes, I remember. So, I remember.
But the thing, I guess, the story, the lesson from that is If You Met Me First is just one of those songs that seems to connect with people all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who hears it.
Yep.
And that's the power of country music. And that's what I love about it. Whereas with pop music, there are those songs are out there, for sure. And I think every genre has those songs.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems, just from my own personal experience, I guess, living in Nashville and going out to this, writing with a lot of great writers, but also seeing a lot of great artists in the, you know, in the dive bars in Nashville, playing these songs that just blow your mind and make you feel something.
Yeah.
That's a really powerful thing. Like you said, music's healing.
It is.
I totally agree.
And we all can.
For some people it's an escape in a positive way. Some people it's catharsis, you know, I think that's a really powerful way to, you know, reach a lot of people, and hopefully a positive way, you know?
And it does, because even if somebody's going through a breakup and you come out with these amazing love songs that you do, because you're really good at it, it's just, you still remember what it felt like to be in love. So the songs you're putting out there right now, your son, the person that he's married to, and their kids might be playing your songs that many years from now.
It's crazy to think about.
Yeah. You know, generations, yeah, right? Incredible.
Yeah.
Now, we've got to talk about the new one, because, like, this one has just, as I said, we're still buzzing about it because it's still heating up the charts right now.
Mm.
And then the music video with it, too. So let's talk about Made in Mexico. I can relate to this one.
Were you married in Mexico?
We weren't married in Mexico, but our honeymoon was there, so.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, I mean, well, yeah, I guess you don't, this one's not married, it's just Made in Mexico. Love.
That's
it,
right.
You know, so yeah, you're good. It applies. I co-wrote the song, with, Joey Hendrix and Blake Bollinger in Nashville. It was after Kelsey and I had gotten married, and I'm like, this is just, it was a song that sort of sat on the shelf for a bit. Only because, like, I've loved it the whole time. It just, the way that things work out in the music business, sometimes it's like certain songs get picked over. It's a whole team of people picking songs, right? So,
right.
So certain songs get more votes than the others. But when it came time to releasing the record, it just, our team was just, everybody just loved the song. It was in everybody's top list. And it's a personal song to me. It relates to my story directly, which one of the reasons I love it so much. And it's the first, in my mind anyways, it's the first of many songs to come that tell the story more so of who I am. And, you know, people have heard me sing and people may have seen my show, but now it's like, okay, now I just want to get to know people better, and I want them to get to know me better. And this is the process. This is the start of all that.
Well, I love it too, because I know the background and how the two of you met and the whole love story between the two of you. And it's just like, when I saw the video, I went, oh, this is perfect. Like seeing you guys on the dock in the jeans, and it was just so cool. And then seeing the video in. Such a special, special song. What was it like working with Lindsay?
Lindsay Rhymes. I first met Lindsay Rhymes in Nashville when it was interesting. I'd heard his name before, and you know, I remember when I first went into his house, and we were waiting on the other writer, Matt Rogers, who's also a really, really great writer. We were just chatting. He's an Australian guy, so it's kind of, we have that in common that we're both, we were both immigrants, both expats. But he is just an incredibly talented guy, just producer. He's hustled and worked his way up in Nashville, but he's like a multi-instrumentalist, is just a killer producer. And we wrote the song Kiss Me Goodbye that day. And it was one of my favorite songs that I'd co-written. I'd always loved exactly what he did on the demo, the way the demo came out. I just was like, this is, I'm recording this song. No, I don't care what anybody says. It's just something about the way that he produces. He just nails it.
Your lips turn me upside down without even trying. They crash into mine, yeah, the fireworks start flying. That come on, give me look, you just shot me. Got me shook and it says you want me. So come on and lay one on me. Girl, you can kiss me in the crowd with the whole world watching. Or on the coast somewhere with the summer sunset dropping. In a bar, in the rain, I'll let you kiss me any place, anytime. But I won't let you kiss me goodbye.
He sends me something and I'm like, yep, I love all that. That's great. And usually a producer says something and it could be like, yeah, it's like this, maybe change this. And he's like, oh, I'm like, I don't know. It's like he reads my mind.
Well, because he knows you, right? He knows exactly the kind of artist. And that's amazing when you get a producer like that.
Yeah, it's the first time it's really ever happened. And that was really cool. So to be able to do Made in Mexico with him, and he's like, yeah, he was on board to do it. It was like, well, it gave me peace of mind that I know it's going to sound awesome no matter what happens. So it's been great to work with him, and the plan is to do more stuff with him coming up in the down the road. And right now I'm right now working on a couple songs with Bart McKay. I don't know if you're familiar with Bart.
Yes, all, but... very much. Very much.
Yeah, so I've also been super impressed with Bart McKay, because actually Kelsey started working with him, and I was in the studio that day just there to, like, you know, just hang out while she was recording, and so I was super impressed with him too. I was like, you know what, I'm gonna get Bart on a couple songs too, and so I'm excited for how those are turning out. He's a great guy to work with. It's a little bit easier for us to get there too, with him being in Saskatchewan and we're in Edmonton, so
where you are, yeah,
it's a little bit easier than Nashville. A little bit closer. Game plan is we're gonna move down to Nashville permanently and just start building our
That was your dream. That was both of your dreams, you know, for so long. And that, you know, like, that is just going to be such a special moment. We got so many Canadians over there. But, man, yeah. I'm telling you. Now, this is the first. Is this the lead single from the project that you're working on right now?
Yes. Okay. The lead single.
Mm-hmm. And so we're going to play this one right now because I love this one. It's still steaming up the platforms right now. So it's such a cool song. Here is the latest single that is out right now. Here is Made in Mexico by country star Eric Etheridge here on Music's Journey.
It's rain like this that takes me back. Makes me miss that fire we had. We had everything under the Cabo sun. With a kiss like that, you can't have just one. Still taste it on my tongue. We're making margaritas with way too much tequila. We were making snow angels in the sand on the beach. Stars in the sky, trying to make a handshake deal with time, just to get a little more, but it don't work like that. Now all I can wonder is when we're going back. Yeah, we're going back. Let me take you back to making margaritas with way too much tequila. We were making snow angels in the sand on the beach. Make it out.
Is Made in Mexico by country star Eric Etheridge. Don't forget you can download it on all your streaming platforms and you can add it and share it on all your playlists. You also can request it at your favorite local country radio station. Now, we got to talk about the new lyric video. Brilliantly done. And I love the simplicity to it, and it just delivers that romance and the whole moment of what this song stands for.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it was... we had a lot of footage from when we were in Mexico, because we haven't been there since the pandemic. So, Fun fact, that was filmed, parts of it anyways, were filmed on the beach in my hometown.
Sorry, oh, was it really?
So cool. We were back for a show, and I was like, we need to get a video together. So I called my managers, and I'm like, I call the camera crew, and I'm like, let's go. We're doing this. And it worked out great. I'm really happy.
Never
with
knew.
It worked out, but
see, yeah. Never knew.
Sarnia, Ontario, also known as Cancun. Yeah.
That's right.
Connor Scheffler was the producer on that video. As well, I think he did a great job. So we're
absolutely
yeah.
Mm. Kudos to him, because I didn't know that. Yeah. I did not know that.
Fun fact.
And I know Sarnia well. I did not know that.
Yeah. It's the Hollywood tricks, right?
There you go. There you go. And it was so cool. It must have been so much fun to shoot.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm lucky to have a good actress that I don't have to pay. That plays my love interest. It's real easy. Super easy.
Yeah. And great friends that went along with it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Now, talk about the songs that are going to be coming up. Can you share a little bit of something?
Absolutely. Okay, so one song, it's been on my social media. I've played it a few times. I wrote a song about becoming a dad, and this is one of those ones that when you write, you're like, I don't care what anybody says, I'm recording this. It's called To Be a Man, and it's on, just like me playing it acoustic is on my social media right now. Played it out live, like just for some really cool like acoustic shows that we did, one in Calgary, and the response has been really good. So yeah, so that's
it's
probably
a must.
The next one that's going to be coming out in, I think, February, late January, early February. And so stay tuned for that one. That's
awesome.
That's a real personal one. Real, that one's really close to home.
That is awesome. I cannot wait. Fatherhood is just, man, you are such an incredible person. All the women out there are just going to be going, Kelsey, you're so darn lucky. And she is.
I'd say that I'm the lucky one.
You both are. Yeah.
But we're both lucky for sure.
Yeah. Such a special song, because it's so personal, because that's one that, you know, your child's going to remember always.
Yeah.
And
so I hope the little man likes it when he's old enough to understand, you know. I knew it was special, because once we were writing it, I was a Zoom write. I was writing over Zoom.
And oh, were you really?
The writers I was working with, as we were writing it, I was just like trying not to cry on Zoom. I'm just like, I'm good. Yeah, I'm good. I'm gonna get a coffee. I'll be right back. But I'm like, when it hits you like that, you're like,
this
is special.
Oh, it is. It is.
So.
Oh, I cannot wait.
I hope you like it.
Cannot wait. So you're gonna come back on when you release that, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
if you'll have me.
I would love to have debut the song on on the show. That would be awesome.
I'm down.
Let's do it. I'm holding you to it now.
All right.
Now, is there any time that you're going to be doing a duet with your lovely bride?
You know what? We've actually, this is, her and I have been talking about this quite a bit. Yes, we want to do one.
Awesome.
It's just a matter of, we want to write one. And so... That's our little guy not sleeping so well, but
really,
we mostly just sleep when we have a chance. But yeah, we're working on that. I'd love to do a duet with her. I did one a long time ago with her called "If I Had You," which is out there now. But we want to do a more recent.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I love the two of you together. I absolutely love it. And that was the one question that was sent in to me tonight, if there was one that was going to be coming up soon. So we can let everybody know that that's going to be in the works at some point. So we're looking forward to it.
If people go to my Facebook page, I think it's pinned to the top. I don't know if you heard this, but we did a cover of Bryan Adams' Heaven.
Oh, no. I didn't see that.
This is our first dance song in Mexico, and we wanted to surprise our friends and family because we were like, what do we want for a first dance, right? What's going to be our wedding song? What about Heaven? And I was like, yeah, I love that song. Of course.
Ah.
And then we thought, like, what if we sang it? And so we did a duet of Heaven and it got a million hits on Facebook.
Oh, really?
And so Cal said I posted it. I was like, oh, because we shot a video. I was like, yeah, let's just post it, whatever. And then I didn't think twice about it. I was just like, okay, yeah, whatever, you know. 2 months later, Kelsey's looking at it. She's like, did you know that Heaven has 900,000 views? And I was like, what? So I look back at it over there. I didn't even know. It was like, it got like 40,000 likes and like,
oh, that's insane. Awesome.
Yeah, it was,
that is just awesome. Blew up.
So it's not, that one's not released because we were playing with the idea of like, we would love to actually maybe do a bigger production of it. It was a friend of ours in Nashville did it as a wedding gift, that recording. We'd like to almost, like, we're considering maybe just doing an even bigger version of it.
Okay.
And so we'll see. We'll see what happens to that. But if you want to hear the version, the original version, that's on my Facebook page. I think it's pinned to the top.
Okay. So do you have time for a couple burning questions?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know me. I've got to ask them.
Hey, anytime.
Okay. So favorite song. I think we've answered this one, but let me change this. Favorite song that means something special to both you and Kelsey while you were dating.
Ooh, is this one that I've written, or
just a song that meant something to you that, you know, when you were when you were pursuing her?
Ah, okay, cool. I'm just thinking, because I wrote so many love songs at that point in time, and I still do. But there was a lot that came out. So one morning in Nashville, Cass and I hadn't been dating very long. I said something to her in the morning call, and I just said, you know, Kelsey, I'm never going to break your heart. And she's like, well, that's really sweet of you to say, you know? And I was like, actually, that sounds like a good song idea. So later that morning, the two writers I was working with, I was like, hey, I have this idea, like, you know, I ain't ever going to break your heart. And they're like, oh, that's really good.
Nice.
And then we wrote this song called Break Your Heart. And so that was on the EP I did in 2019. But it's a song called Break Your Heart. Yeah, check it out.
Okay.
You see it in the movies. A girl meets a guy, says hi, an hour later they fall in love. And they don't break up. It never made sense to me. You could find someone right out of the blue, too good to be true. Then I met you. I used to think that it was hopeless. I don't know much, but girl, I know this. I ain't ever gonna break your heart. Life gets a little heavy and it's better when you're in my arms. Holding you is touching heaven, I know I'm what you don't see. Cause every time you close, my heart beats out of my chest. I still get nervous. Yeah, you really do it to me. You bat those eyes, flash that smile, so let down your hair. I swear, I swear, I swear, I ain't ever gonna break your heart. Life gets a little heavy and it's better when you're heaven. I know I would never make it through. I'd be a fool if I ever let me let go of you. I knew it from the start. Girl, I ain't ever gonna break your heart. Even when it's hard, no matter.
important accomplishment so far in your music career?
Ooh. Most important accomplishment so far. That's a good one. I think I would say the, that is a great question. I think I would, there's a few, but I think if I was to pick one, would be a show that I played in 2019, and this meant a lot to me. I would say, like, having 2 gold records is really, really, mm-hmm. really cool. Like, that's for sure. Yeah. I'm very grateful for that, you know, just to be able to say that and to have those, you know.
Mm-hmm. But it's a big
but
deal.
But more so, you know, I think playing, playing Boots and Hearts mains, the main stage of Boots and Hearts in 2019, opening for Miranda Lambert.
Nice.
Was probably my biggest, like my favorite accomplishment. And the reason why I say that is, so in 2015, I was in a competition with Boots and Hearts, and I ended up becoming the runner up.
I was there.
So I didn't win the competition. I was really bummed about that. And I don't know if you ever heard the story, but so that day it was, you know, the finals was in front of 40,000 people there. It was like right between, sandwiched between Thomas Rhett and Florida Georgia Line is where like both James Barker and I went out. And
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. It was crazy. And so anyways, you know, James Barker's story, like they've obviously gone on to stream over a billion times and done very well. And I'm really happy for them. They're very, you know, they're a great group of guys. So then the next day I was working 4 jobs at the time. And the next day I went and I was delivering pizzas. I just graduated school as a chiropractor, but I couldn't work yet. I didn't have my license. So I was like, I need to do anything to like make money to pay bills. And so I was playing bars at night. I was bartending. I was delivering pizza.
I didn't know you bartended too. Holy cow.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I've done a lot of jobs to just make ends meet, you know, because music is expensive to do.
It is. It yeah. is.
So is becoming a chiropractor. So I just remember thinking, like, as I was delivering this pizza, I was like, you know what? Like, I'm going to do everything I can do to get back on that Boots and Hearts stage. But to be invited back as an artist, not be there from a competition. I just want to be there because mm-hmm. they want me to be there. And sure enough, we got the call in early 2019 and said, you're going to be on the main stage. And from what I heard, it was one of the more, like, because they keep track of this. And there wasn't a great slot. Like, I think it was maybe, like 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh,
it was
okay.
Early slot. But there was, yeah. like, 3,000 or 4,000 people showed up to watch the show. Mm-hmm. And which typically no one shows up at that time. Usually everyone's still drinking at their tent.
Or hungover from,
the night before. And so that to me was a special moment because it was like a come full circle moment. It took four years to get back. It was, you know, to make that happen. And
yeah, because that was the second time she played the show because she opened. She was one of the main artists the very first year. So that's the one year I didn't get out there to see that. I missed that. Right.
I'll have to do it again.
Yes, please.
Talk to the Boots and Hearts people and I'll have to get you out there. So that was probably the
one moment. That's cool.
Most grateful for, proud of.
Yeah, I guess so. That's amazing. She is incredible. Did you get a chance to meet her?
I did not. No, I didn't have a chance. I didn't get a chance to meet her. But a lot of the big headliners, they're in and they're out. You know,
exactly.
They come in on their private jet and hit the stage, and then they
off they go.
You know, before the band gets off, they're already on their way to the airport. So
because they do so many Canadian dates, and then they're gone.
Yeah, for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah. I've heard like Thomas Rhett, I think, just flies a private jet out, and then you know he's on his way to the airport before the show's over. Like,
it's
home for dinner probably.
Now, one place that you would love to travel that you've never been before.
Well, actually, we haven't announced this yet, but I've always wanted to play in Europe, and I'll announce it now, I guess, but it's, so both Kelsey and I are actually performing in Spain next year, which is near Barcelona. So that's really cool. So we're like, I've never been to Europe. Kelsey hasn't either. We're super excited. So we're going to. That was a dream of ours, and it seems to be coming true this summer, 2023. So that's super cool. Very excited.
That is awesome. Wow.
Yeah.
What a great place. Yeah. Oh man, that's going to be so. Yeah. What a journey you guys are on right now in this next chapter.
Yeah.
That is
stay
so...
tuned. I'm going to be, my game plan is, and I haven't, this is more stuff that's kind of coming out, but I've spent a lot of the pandemic working on becoming like learning about cameras and learning about how to film and edit music videos and those types of things. So we're going to be documenting a lot of this too.
Nice.
And putting a lot of it out there.
Oh, so that means you're not taking me in your suitcase. Let me do it.
Well, oh, sure. On. Let's do that. if you can fit amongst like all the baby stuff, you know, Wilder will be coming too. The bottles and the foreign and all that stuff. But yeah.
I think you'd be over the pounds that you're allotted. Right?
I think they keep decreasing that limit. I don't know.
I know, like, man. I'm telling you, but, it just goes down and down. It's like, how do you expect to go on a vacation when you're doing all this stuff? That is awesome. That is incredible news. So we can't wait. Cannot wait to see that. Okay, so favorite bedtime story to read to Wilder.
He's got a few. I'd say his favorite is I think it's Brown Bear by Eric Carle. I think it is.
Nice. It's Brown Bear.
He's got a couple that he likes, but there's that, and I think it's like the Hungry Caterpillar by Eric Carle.
Nice.
So he loves that one. Famous books. Oh yeah.
See, we're just gonna have to make you read one or.
Story time with Eric. Mr. Rogers style. Yeah.
That's right.
I got a red sweater, cardigan sweater, and everything. Hello, kids.
There we go. See, you got it right down pat already. So you're doing great. Okay, so favorite holiday song.
Ooh, this is gonna be funny. Like, I'm a big fan of Christmas music. Like,
me too.
Like, I love Christmas music.
Me too.
So, we're gonna probably do a Christmas album at some point. Favorite song? I don't know if I have a favorite holiday song necessarily. Like, I love all of Michael Bublé's like Christmas album.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that like it reminds me of like the older Bing Crosby stuff. Like, you know, like
I still love
Silver Bells.
Yeah, I still love a lot of the. I still love the traditional old classic Christmas songs. I don't know. Like, I love a lot of the new stuff too, and I always have, but. I love that stuff. Absolutely. It just brings me back to my parents, right?
Same.
Mm-hmm.
Bing Crosby brings me back to my childhood Christmases, like listening to him, you know, and then, yeah. I don't know if I have a favorite Christmas song, though. I like them all.
Mm-hmm. Me too. Well, Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire, like the Christmas song. I think that one really stood out to me. Like, I love Bing Crosby, but that was always one of my favorites. So, okay, so awesome. Favorite holiday tradition?
Ooh. Well, it's been, we haven't really had holiday traditions lately because our holidays have been different the last few years. We're
growing up, what was your favorite holiday
growing
tradition?
Growing up, it's going to seem weird, but my family always, Christmas Eve, we always got Chinese food.
A lot of people do.
It's like one of my favorite things. I love Chinese food.
Yeah.
And, but that, you know, we do that, and then obviously, you know, Christmas the next day, but getting up, and my mom would make cinnamon, or she'd order cinnamon buns, which are also deadly. So that's, you know, so cinnamon buns at Christmas morning, Chinese food Christmas Eve.
Nice.
Those are just some of my favorite, our family's favorite traditions. There's not anything like quirky yet, but I think Kelsey and I we're going to come up with some. We have matching onesies this year.
There we go.
I'm sure you'll see that online.
That's awesome.
we got Wilder a matching. We got him the matching one this year. And Luna's got one. Our dog has one as well. So.
Oh, I forgot about Luna. I forgot about Luna.
We're that family, Kim. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. No, that's my family too. So there you go. Except mine's a lot older. Okay. So favorite holiday movie?
Probably, I would say How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Probably the Jim Carrey version,
I would say. Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Seen that one a lot.
I still like Lampoon's Holiday, Christmas.
Oh, yeah. That's a classic, too. That's really good.
I remember giving that to a lot of people that had never seen it before. You know, when I was working, giving that to... I know! Isn't that crazy?
Who hasn't seen that movie? That is on every Christmas channel all Christmas.
It's funny because they always hold it till the very end. It's like Scrooge, like the original Scrooge. They always leave it till so close to Christmas. And you know, everybody wants to watch National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Like, it's
that's,
just it's
that's up there too. I don't know. That actually might be my favorite. Actually, now that you reminded me of that one,
I love that's that. A great one. That's my favorite. I don't want to keep you up because I know it's past your bedtime now. So. I have to tease you about that.
It's getting there. It's 8:10 my time. It's getting
Is that what it is? I keep forgetting we're on different time slots. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm no stranger to like a 9:30 bedtime now.
I know. That's why I figured I didn't want to creep too close to that one. So we've been asking you a lot of questions. So I just wanted everybody to get to know you a little more.
No, well, I appreciate you having me on, Kim, and it's been great. Talking to you and getting to know you more even, and you know, so thank you so much. Let's do this again sometime.
Well, you're doing it. You've got your we're doing the release of that song. I'm holding you to it. Please give Kelsey a big hug for us, and just Wilder, oh man, I just can't wait to see the photos, and we're wishing you so much happiness and next year, 2023, just to be the best one yet.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thank you so much, Kim, and have a wonderful holiday as well.
Yes, you too. All right, you take care, okay? We love you.
Take care. Yeah, okay. Love you too.
All right, bye. A great big thank you to my very special guest, country star Eric Etheridge, for coming on the show. I've got some great shows that are coming up. I'm going to be doing a special two-part series for two shows for Canadian country classic rock bands that are going to be in January. You don't want to miss them. I'll be speaking with Lighthouse and the Stampeders. I'm going to be playing some of their greatest hits, and I am so looking forward to digging in a lot deeper when it comes to what their career has been like and the greatest hits that they've put out for all of us that still stand the test of time. I'm going to be interviewing Brody Siepert, Dan Washburn, Dan Davidson, the Hunter Brothers, Kadoo, Aaron Allen, Weapons, Smoke and Ashes, Annika, Flesher, The Prairie States, and so many more. Don't forget you can catch all my shows that you don't want to miss on musicsjourney.com. You also can check out all the articles, new releases, new videos, and reviews at nowandthenmagazine.com. Well, that's it for me, your host, Kim Sear. Thank you so much for tuning in to Music's Journey, and have yourselves a wonderful day. I will catch you here next time on Music's Journey.
I don't want to fall asleep, baby. I don't even want to close my eyes, 'cause I've been seeing you, baby. Yeah, it hurts a little worse every time. I toss and turn and check my phone.